As the United States contemplates going to war with Iraq, Catholic and Protestant church leaders across the country have come out against taking military action, at least in the near future. It used to be when church leaders spoke, people listened. But NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports churches don't seem to have that kind of sway anymore.
If any group of people is likely to heed the voice of the Catholic Church, it's the 36 faithful sitting in the pews of Holy Trinity Church in Washington, D.C. at 8 o'clock one morning.
The Lord be with you. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Led by Father William Byron, they pray for wisdom to avoid a war with Iraq and the triumph of diplomacy over violence. These prayers are right in line with the official stand of the U.S. Catholic bishops. Last fall, they issued a statement opposing war with Iraq, saying the U.S. should use force only as a last resort. Outside the church, parishioner Dale Massey, a professor at the University of Maryland, said that official statement didn't make much difference to her.
Well, I hate to tell you, but I didn't even read it or know about it, okay? So, I mean, I'm not one that necessarily, you know, buys into everything that the church says, you know. I don't think Christ would either all the time.
Massey has been persuaded by the evidence against Saddam Hussein. Parishioner Ann Clark is still making up her mind. But she says the church doesn't have moral authority on issues like war. It's a pretty remarkable sentiment, she concedes. For previous generations, the Catholic Church was to be the final authority for virtually everything.
My father is the kind of person, rest his soul, who absolutely would have read the statement, and that would have been the way he went. And he was an educated guy. But I think that generation just absolutely saw this as the moral authority. And I think that our generation, you know, doesn't.
Clark says the erosion of the church's moral authority predated the sexual abuse scandals, and it's not limited to the Catholic Church. In fact, Nancy Ammerman, a church sociologist at Hartford Seminary, says in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, theologians like Protestant Reinhold Niebuhr, Catholic John Courtney Murray, and Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel often made pronouncements on war or communism, and people listened.
A generation or two ago, we might have been able to assume that there was one Protestant voice or just two or three major leaders that we could sort of turn to on the national stage. Today, nobody presumes to have that kind of voice for everybody.
So what happened? First, the 1960s brought a surge in immigration and new religions, Islam and Eastern religions, such that Judaism and Christianity no longer had a corner on the public market of moral philosophy. And of course, the 60s challenged every form of authority, from police and the presidency to pastor and the pontiff. The changes were particularly pronounced in the Catholic Church, as that decade brought a dramatic shift in the relationship between the hierarchy of the church and the people in the pews.
Amid all the conflicts, the holy man in Rome carried on his peaceful pursuits. He opened the second session of the Ecumenical Council in Rome.
The Second Vatican Council in the early 1960s gave the laity a greater role as the public face of the Church. Then, in the 1968 encyclical on the regulation of birth, or Humanae Vitae, Pope Paul VI instructed Catholics not to use artificial birth control. According to Father Richard McBrien, a church historian at Notre Dame, Humanae Vitae drove a wedge between lay Catholics and the Church hierarchy.
Humanae Vitae made Catholics realize, perhaps for the first time in modern times, that whenever the Pope speaks, he may not always be right. He may not always know what he's talking about.
American bishops continued to weigh in on topics such as nuclear deterrence, economic policy, and welfare reform. And until the past decade or so, these pronouncements usually made a big splash in the news media. But Richard John Newhouse, editor-in-chief of the Catholic magazine First Things, says those statements only served to undercut the Catholic Church's credibility with the faithful.
An awful lot of people said, hey, you know, what do these bishops really know about American nuclear policy? What do they really know about marginal tax rates? And by speaking too often when it was not necessary to speak, the bishops undermine their credibility when they speak on questions that require their speaking.
Now, the Protestant churches had their own problem in this area. The mainline Protestant church has always been fractured into Episcopal, Methodist, Presbyterian, and so on. But over the past two or three decades, any semblance of a unified Protestant political philosophy disappeared. Baby boomers, the ultimate consumers, began hopping from church to church and denomination to denomination. What that means, says church historian Nancy Ammerman, is that most people sitting in the pews of, say, an Episcopal church didn't actually grow up in that denomination and may not be familiar with its leaders.
Half the people in the pews may not know what a presiding bishop is because they've only been Episcopalians for 2 or 3 or 5 years. So churches are not only having to face the question of will people respect the authority, they're having to face the question of whether people even know what the authority is.
Moreover, the fastest growing segment of the Protestant church doesn't really care what the hierarchy says, according to Jackson Carroll of Duke Divinity School. Most large Protestant denominations have a mainline wing, which is liberal and shrinking in numbers, and an evangelical wing, which is conservative and growing fast. So when the more liberal leadership in these churches comes out in opposition to a war with Iraq, he says, many parishioners simply ignore them because they already disagree with the leadership on other moral, social, and theological issues.
There is this disconnect between them and the local level, and in many cases the local level folks have said, well, yeah, they are predictable and they don't represent me because they are too far left and they don't pay as much of attention even if they know about what they've done.
But as much as anything else, what's undermined church authority, Catholic and Protestant, is information. Donald Miller, a theology professor at the University of Southern California, says this has shifted the balance of intellectual power.
The clergy at one point were the most educated. They were the ones that had access to information. Now, of course, the person in the pew has just as much access to information, and they're making their political judgment in a rather independent way.
Deep divisions. The U.S. angry at NATO allies still refusing to support the U.S. over Iraq.
People base their judgments on television news that never ends, mountains of newsprint, the bottomless internet, sources unimaginable a generation ago. But in the cacophony, the message of the church can be drowned out. Bob Edgar, who heads the National Council of Churches, says that means the church has to change the medium, if not the message.
We're all trying to break through the maze of all of the communication that blares at people across the land, and Hollywood stars have an edge.
Hollywood stars like Janine Garofalo, who recently appeared in this television commercial with Methodist Bishop Melvin Talbot.
If we invade Iraq, there's a United Nations estimate that says there will be up to 500,000 people killed or wounded. Do we have the right to do that to a country that's done nothing to us?
No nation under God has that right. It violates international law. It violates God's law.
Whether these kinds of messages will influence the public's thinking about a possible war with Iraq, much less the president's thinking, is anyone's guess. No doubt churches will still try to give moral guidance to the nation. They'll just have a lot more competition. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News, Washington.